Good afternoon. Welcome to our service. We talked about this morning about being a debtor, right? Being a debtor to Christ, and how we often use the word debtor as a negative word, as very much a positive word, right? According to Romans 1. And I was thinking about it slightly. So a debtor is somebody who is in payment of, right? Jesus did so much for us that aren't we in debt to him? But at the same time, the scripture is very clear. We don't pay that debt in a sense, but we're just so indebted. I thought about marriage. I thought about marriage, and I thought about my lovely wife, and I thought about, you know, and I thought about a little bit how they say the millennials don't like to commit. People don't like to commit because once you commit to something, that means you're saying no to a lot of other things, right? Once you commit to something, then like you commit, you try to organize an event. How do I explain this? You try to organize an event with young people. Hey, you want to come and do something? The answer is what? Maybe, right? Maybe. Like, I want to know what the stat. I want to know what's all my options. What if I say yes to you now? That means I'm saying no to any other opportunity that could come my way. I don't know if I want to say I'll be there Friday night or not. Stacy, you're smiling. You've done this. Or you've seen this. You've experienced this. So let's just not pick on millennials. It's all of us, right? We're all this way. So what are my options? Okay. So then let's go to the marriage, right? I got married in 98. And when I said I want to marry Tara, I didn't have any other options, but how do I say this, right? How do I show my love to, man, some analogies aren't good. When a certain person would say, I want to marry that person, then they're saying no to everybody else. There would be, right? You're exclusive. Thank you. I chose well. Now in this, though, wait a minute. So Tara married me. Now I'm in debt to her, right? Think about the word debt. I so love Tara so much. I want to spend the rest of my life trying to biblically love her, right? I'm indebted to her. I'm indebted because she would love a guy like me. I am indebted to her. Thought about that analogy a little bit as Ken was preaching about Jesus and how in Romans says, I think it says we're indebted. Man, he did so much for us. He talked about joy, and he talked about thanksgiving. Jesus did so much. Aren't we just full of joy and thanksgiving? I mean, come on, who here? So sometimes on a Saturday, I got a honey-do list, right? And anybody has some tasks that your wife would like you to get done, and it's like, I guess. I mean, I've heard this happens. Right? Like, I guess I'll go do that for you. Or what about if I'm, right? And that makes your wife feel one way. And then there's the way of like, hey, hon, it's Saturday. I got the schedule clear. What do you want me to do? I might not be able to do it right, but it's just cleared out. Sometimes I'll even put on a little funny bandana and come out with the song, right? Playing like Rocky or something. Like, here I am. It happened maybe once. But it was a good Saturday. And just like, hey, what can I do for you? Well, she felt so loved. When I would try to show my love in that way. And that's the heart of Romans. Right? What's our response? Psalm 51, what's gonna be our response to God's righteousness, his holiness, his great goodness, and his love for us? Let's start in Job 38. Let's read from Job. I don't necessarily have an outline for this afternoon, so we'll start here and see where this adventure for the next 40 minutes or so takes us. Job 38. The title is, God challenges Job to answer. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is that this darkened counsel by the words without knowledge? Gird up thy loins. Gird up now thy loins like a man. For I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measure therefore, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations therefore fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with doors, when it breaketh forth, as it hath issue out of the womb? When I made the clouds the garments therefore, and the thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, Hitherto thou shalt come, but no further. And here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since the days, and caused the dayspring to know this place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? It is turned as clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment. And from the wicked their light is withhold, the high arm shall be broken. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked in the search of the depth? Have the gates of the death been opened unto thee? Or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Hast thou perceived the breath of the earth? Declare it if thou knowest at all. Where is the way? Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as far darkness, where is the place thereof? That thou should take it to the bound therefore, and thou shouldst know the paths to the house therefore. Knowest thou it? Because thou wast then born? Or because the number of thy days is great? Hast thou entered into the treasure of the snow? Or seen the treasure of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? By what way is the light parteth, which scattereth the east wind upon the earth? Who hath divided a watercourse for the overflowing of waters? Or a way for the lightning to thunder, to cause it to rain to the earth where no man is, on the wilderness there wherein there is no man? To satisfy the desolate and waste the ground, and to cause the bud of the tender herd to spring forth. Hath the rain a father, or who hath begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? Who hath gendered it? The waters are hid as with the stone, in the face the deep is frozen. Canst thou bind the sweet influence of Peleides, or loosen the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season? Or canst thou guide Articulus with his sons? Knowest thou the ordinance of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof the earth? Canst thou lift up the voice of the clouds, and the abundance of water may cover thee? Canst thou send lightning, that they may go and say unto thee, Where here we are? Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts, or who hath given understanding to the heart? Who had numbered the clouds of wisdom, or who stays in the bottles of heaven? When the dust groweth in the harness, and the clouds cleave fast together, wilt thou hunt prey for the lion, or fill the appetite of the young lions? Or when thou crouch in their dens, abide in the covert to lie in wait? Who provideth the ravens his food, when the young ones cry unto God? They're wondering for the lack of meat. Let's sing together. Uh, 302. Let's sing, thinking about how great thou art, 302 of the Hymns of Zion. Pray together. Father God Almighty, holy and righteous Lord, we come to you in humility in the name of Jesus, your great Son, who died on the cross and shed his blood and rose again. In his name, in his great name, we even dare and yet boldly come to the throne. Father, we pray for our church here in Indianapolis that we will grow in knowledge, grow in wisdom, we'll have biblically response as we study your word this afternoon and as we study Romans together as a church and find our church and grow us closer as we ponder thy greatness, O Lord. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us when we speak dogmatic about things that which we do not know of. You know we do. We speak of things sometimes with such assurance, like we know the answers, and we don't. Forgive us, Lord. Give us wisdom and knowledge. The second request, Lord, would be that you give us your grace as we proclaim your word, and that we are not ashamed of being indebted to you, of being a follower of you. We are not ashamed. Help us speak that boldly. Speak the truth boldly of thy greatness. Not just from the pulpit, Lord, but through our lives at home, through our workplaces, through our neighbors, through interactions in the marketplace, during the routines of life, during the transitions of life. Oh, Lord. Father, our next request is for the Sunday school. We pray that they will feel your love back in those rooms, that you will show your love to them through the teachers and then through the fellow students. This is the place that's called church. This is the place that's reflected of you. May we be your biblical church. Pray for the students that truth will abound, that your love will be felt. Lord, we pray for the month of June. We pray for vacation Bible schools right around the corner. Be with the committees who are planning that, Lord. Be with the teachers as they start preparing the lessons, the snacks, the crafts. Maybe a time where not just our kids, but the kids of the community and any visitors will feel loved, and empower our students to show them love. Pray for the missions trip, those going to Magdalena, where many of the young people are going, Lord. Pray for mercies on that as we travel together. Pray, Lord, that we will be inspired with allness to just worship you, to bring glory to you, to feel again another opportunity to feel your love as we are together. Use that trip, Lord. Lord, as we transition into summer, and may this summer be a summer that we draw closer to you, Lord. Pray for, Lord, I want to pray for our veterans. Any we have here in our congregation, Lord, lift them up as we celebrate Memorial Day in this country. Lord, we want to pray and plead that you will be the father to the fatherless. You'll be the husband to the widows, especially those who have lost loved ones to the in service to our country. And then, Lord, we even pray for those who are hurting and missing loved ones who don't have a Memorial Day, who through tragic losses have lost, whose pain, I don't know if it could be greater or not, or just different. Pray for those who are hurting. May your peace, pour your peace over their heads as oil, as in the days of old. Okay, Lord, be with us these next few minutes as we ponder your word here in Job and in the New Testament. For thine is the kingdom, power, glory forever. Amen. Let's read a few verses in chapter 40. Job chapter 40. So 39 continues God's challenge. And then we get to see a little bit of the response on Job's end. And then we'll go to the New Testament. Maybe we'll read a little bit of 42 here. Okay, so 40, chapter, verse 1. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he continueth with the Almighty instruct him? He hath reproved God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer yea twice. But I will proceed no further. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, gird up thy loins like a man. I will demand of thee and declare unto me. Will thou also disannul my judgment? Will thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous? Hast thou an arm like God, or canst thou thunder like a voice like him? Deck thyself now with the majesty and excellency, and the array thyself with the glory and the beauty. Cast away the rage of the wrath, and behold every one that is proud, and abase him. And he continues. And let's go to 42. Verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered what I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, and now my eye seeth. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the things that were right to my servant Job, as my servant Job hath. And we'll pause there. So it's beautiful. I think it's beautiful to see Job's response and encounters with the Lord, and kind of goes to solidifying this morning's theme of what is our response. The first portion I give as I read over this is just the allness. When's the last time that we felt, when's the last time you felt all? Right? All's a fun feeling. Sometimes I can feel it when I'm on a beach overlooking the ocean. Or Roger, thinking of you being in the mountains, right? Seeing some of God's creation. Some of Tara's favorite songs were songs of creation. Sometimes I get a feeling of awe when I'm diving into God's Word. And there's this connection, or something's revealed to me, or I realize a thought that I never thought before, and I can feel God's greatness. I felt maybe a little bit of awe as I saw, I think it was Ivy, right, during the second prayer, and she was down this hall right there, and she's just looking for her mom. I think I heard her say mom. And she had this look of amazing stress on her face. Right, and then her grandpa picks her up and helps her out, and I'm sure settles everything. I had to think, isn't that what we're like? Aren't we just wandering through this world sometimes with this amazing stress on us, and we just need our father to come, or our grandpa, or the great Lord to come and just pick us up with both hands and comfort us? We don't always get what we want, or what we think we want, right? Ivy, I don't know if she got her mom right away when she wanted her mom, but she got what she needed, right? She got what she needed. She wasn't designed to be lost. And then I think of Job, right? What was his first response? His first response was definitely a response of humility, but it was almost of like, I'm done. Lord, I see my sin, I'm done. But God doesn't stop and leave Job there in 40. He says, no, I still demand of you, right? So Job, if I'm reading this correctly, I'll put that asterisk in the rest of this section here, if I'm reading this correctly, as I understand it, Job says, listen, Lord, I spoke wrongly of you. I'm not going to do it again. And he curls up. And then God says, no. No, no, you have to answer me. And then we jump into 42. And then we see repentance. First is just sorrow. 30, 40 is just sorrow. I'm just sorrowful. And just that sorrow is probably a healthy stage in repentance. But it's, if you stay in that sorrow, right? That's not what God wants. He demands an answer. He demands repentance. Then out of that sorrow and there's humility comes. Then Job answers, said, I know that thou do everything, that no thought can be hidden from you. So he talks about God's greatness. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare unto thee, unto me, I have heard of thee by the hearings of the ear. But now mine eye see thee, and I abhor myself, and repent, and dust and ashes. He abhors himself. As we go through Romans, as we're going to go through, I think the plan is next Sunday, we'll go through the end of Romans and we'll see the depravity of man and we're going to abhor ourselves. But that's not where we stay. And repent. And then will come the joy of the Lord. And thanksgiving will blossom. God wants communion with us, doesn't he? Right? How we view God is so important. And he wants communion with us. He's not up there sitting on the throne, keeping a list of our wrongs. Oh, wrong, wrong, you're useless, wrong, you're bad. No. He says, look, I'll point out these things to you maybe, see that you're wrong, because I want you to come to me. Take the gift of my great son, Jesus. I sent him for all people to have the opportunity to come to me. Let's go to the New Testament. We'll read from Luke 7. Luke 6. We'll start Luke 6, verse 17. Luke chapter 6, verse 17, the Sermon on the Mount. We got the Beatitude and the Woes. We got the Law of the Lord, Judgment and Hypocrisy. He speaks a parable. Doers of the Word. We'll see how far we get in our time remaining. Verse 17. And he came down with them and stood in the plain in the companies of disciples and a great multitude of people out of the Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they were very vexed with the unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went out virtue of him, and he healed them. Excuse me. So pausing here in these verses, and speaking of the multitude, so Ken mentioned, as did I, and as is I do not think a bad thing, is that sometimes we repent because we're scared of hell, right? We repent because all of a sudden we realize, hey, I'm not going to be here forever. What's going to happen? I believe the Bible. I was blessed to grow up in a Christian home where I believe the Bible is true. So if the Bible is true, I'm not going to be here forever. That means I have a choice of heaven or hell. I think I know which one I want. Okay, Lord, I have this need. Seeing down the future, I'm going to have this need where I'm going to spend the rest of eternity. I choose heaven. And that's good. I tell you what, if we just repent for that, no other reason of God, out of God's holiness, that's okay. And then he talked about how we sometimes grow. Now all of a sudden, I'm not even thinking about hell, personally. I'm not worried about it. I have assurance in God. We have assurance. I fall, I sin, I make awful mistakes. You can quiz my family. You can survey my family. Right? But I still have assurance. I have assurance of heaven. So now all of a sudden, I start serving the Lord out of thankfulness. Maybe out of debtness, out of joyness. Right? It's just a growth of maturity. And shame on me for wanting like young. Sometimes I see myself wanting younger people, like just to have it perfect. Oh, wait a minute, they're younger. They probably aren't going to be perfect. I wasn't perfect, but they should be perfect. I don't know if any other parents struggle with that. And what we're seeing here in these first sections here is there's a human need. The multitudes have a need. And what does Jesus do with this need? Oh, you need heal. No, you don't come to me because you have a disease or an evil spirit. I'm not going to help you. You need to come to me out of thankfulness. Be thankful. He heals them. There's this great need. They get to Jesus and he heals them. He meets this need. Tons of ministry books on how we need to start with meeting the felt needs. Felt needs. That's a kind of a buzzword. I think it's a buzzword. I thought it was pretty cool. Right? A felt need. Oh, wow. Felt need. What is a felt need? I looked it up one time. It's a need that somebody feels that they have. It's a need that somebody feels that they had. You can't really judge a felt need because it's a feeling. And we all have different felt needs throughout, right? We got the need of feeling important. We got the need of feeling forgiveness. That might be more of a biblical need. Whatever the case is, that's okay. Come to Jesus in that need. Let's minister and meet needs as what they are and not be judgmental. The virtue went out of him and he healed them all. Verse 20. And he lifted up his eyes upon the disciples and said, "Blessed be the poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when you hunger now, for you will be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For it is like manner did their fathers unto their prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for you shall be hungered. Woe unto you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when men shall speak well of you, for so did the fathers of the false prophets. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them that despitefully use you. And unto them that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other, and him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid him not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that ask of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those who love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do you have the same. And if you lend to them of him who you have received, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is mercy. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they both not fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above the master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceive not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye, thou hypocrite? Cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote of thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth fruit of corrupt fruit, neither a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For the thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of the heart bringeth forth what is evil. For of the abundance of heart the mouth doth speak. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and diggeth deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the streams beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. But he that heareth and doth not is like a man whose foundation built a house upon the earth, against which streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. I have 2 points come to mind as I read over these scriptures. So I'll start with the one. So I've heard it also say that verse 37 has become the most popular quoted verse in our culture. It went away from John 3:16, For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Two, my kids quote this to me, Judge not, you shall not be judged. That's kind of a by thought. But I take that thought, and then I go down to the rest of the scriptures, right? So take that, and what does it tell us to do? What does the scripture tell us to do about this speck in your neighbor's eye? What does it tell us to do? Ignore it. Let them go. Let them keep their speck. That's okay. That's not your business. Is that what it's saying? No. What does it say? It says, get the beam out of your own eye. Get right with the Lord. Get the beams out of your eye, and then go help with the speck. Don't leave your... Really? So, I mean, who here remembers having something in your eye? It really hurts, right? One small piece of sand, a piece of dust in your eye, and you're incapacitated. You really can't do very much. You're done. It hurts. Do we really want to leave our brothers and sisters and our friends in that state? No. But I can't help that eye if my eyes are also blinded. Right? Take an analogy. Take me and one of my kids. Not a true story. We're working up in the attic and dust comes down and both our eyes are covered. Right? They're crying. I'm crying. Oh, let me help you with your eye. I can't help them. I got to go wash my eyes out. I got to call for some extra help. Then I can maybe help them. Right? So let's get all the crap out of our eyes. Then the second part, right? So a question that I think has been on my heart lately going into the month of June, one of my favorite months, VBS and a missions trip this year, thinking about some devotions for the young kids. What does it look like to be a biblical follower? I don't have the question all packaged up right? So what does it look like to be a biblical follower of the Yeshua? I think I like the word Yeshua because I think that's Jesus in Hebrew or some other language. It just sounds better than Jesus. Or it doesn't sound, thank you, for clarification, it doesn't sound as common. Sometimes Jesus thinking of our young people, it's a common word, right? It's a Yeshua, thinking about who he is, if I use that word. Thank you, my wife and I were communicating there. She's like, you better clarify that, dude. There's nothing common about Jesus. Thank you. Right? So I don't know how to package that, but okay, so what does it look like to be a biblical follower? So thinking about the convert study, okay, wait a minute here. Are we following Jesus biblically? Is our indie church following biblically Jesus biblically? I don't know. What does the Bible say? Oh, even worse. Am I following Jesus biblically? Do I want my kids to follow? And that kind of goes into the first part here, the master, right? And the disciples. Do I want them to really emulate me? Do I want them to do what I'm doing and think the way I'm thinking? If I don't, then I'm not biblically following Jesus. So I'm reading in here. I'm reading like, are you serious, Lord? So he talks about not judging and all that. And that sounds kind of fun and nice in our culture here. But what am I supposed to do? Somebody steals from me? I'm supposed to like give them more? No, I'm supposed to press charges. I'm supposed to demand my rights and get my coat back. Seriously, somebody hits me? I'm supposed to like not hit them back? That doesn't make sense. Wait a minute. So I'm supposed to be thankful if people persecute me? I'm supposed to be really excited about that? I thought I'd pray, Lord, thank you that I get to worship in freedom. Right? I pray that a lot. I hear that a lot. Well, I don't know if that's what the Bible says. Maybe we should be saying, Lord, we need to be persecuted. Father, help us to get some persecution going. Because then I can be excited and rejoice great. Is that what this is saying? I don't know, church. I think we want to be biblical followers. We want to be in debt to the Yeshua.
That's what it says in verse 40. See it? Disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is mature, grown up, shall be as his master. We want to be as Jesus. We want to be like Jesus. So let's sing a hymn together and be on our way.
Father in heaven, we do pause and thank thee for this day of worship and for answering our prayers of this morning and even of the prayers of an hour ago, where we could again hear thy word, and we ask a blessing upon those who are willing and so able to stand up and proclaim thy word even for our own benefit. We're thankful, Father, for thy Son Jesus, who gives us that hope of life eternal. May we, as we now leave the sanctuary and go about the coming week, we might dwell upon the teachings that we've heard, and that we might realize that all good things come from thee above, and that we might remember, Lord, the sacrifice that thou didst make upon the cross that would give us that hope of life eternal. So again, we ask to be with us, and again, we offer our thanks for the day and the blessings we have received. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.